He's bad, he's beautiful, he's crazy. It's
Rich Eisen.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
That is the new slogan for RES Consulting.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Is he comeback player of the year?
Russ, he's 34-1, Russell Wilson.
Comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
See, people are even thinking it's possible.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, actor Omar J. Dorsey. Fox Sports rules analyst, Dean Blandino. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, sir. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. We're about to take a couple calls, and then it's our Overreaction Monday on Tuesday.
Hey, now.
Yeah, baby. Overreaction Monday pod is up for everybody to listen to. Brockman had you had a lot of good ones this past time around.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I didn't go higher register to make
it
sound surprising.
You were being serious, because I kind of felt coming in that I was like, oh, man, it's week 12. Not sure I love these, but
they were good.
You were into it.
They were really good. Everybody should check it out. It's just like a straight half hour cappuccino shot of hot takes.
Yep.
And some of them I actually agreed with. and so check that out, where all podcasts can be acquired. Peter King will be the guest of Susie and Amy for the latest edition of What the Football. That will be on our YouTube page and all of your mobile devices if you subscribe or follow, as they say now. And I appreciate if you do that. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Omar Dorsey is in the new Max show, Bookie. It's tough for me to say. This has HBO show written all over it.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
So Sebastian Maniscalco plays a bookie, and Omar Dorsey plays, I guess, the muscle of the operation. Nick Bakay, who is one of my favorite humans on the planet, he is the showrunner and writer, along with Chuck Lorre. He's in studio in hour three on Thursday's show with a tale of the tape from back in the old Sports Center days. We're going to go turn the clock back here. At any rate, Omar Dorsey will be here in about 18 minutes time to talk about that show and everything else. Hour number three, Dean Blandino, the former head of NFL refs, now Fox Rules analyst, will be here in studio talking about what everyone's talking about, officiating and the state of it in the NFL. Let's go to the phone lines just to prove that I can talk about things I don't want to talk about. Ohio Jay is in Florida, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Ohio Jay?
Hey, Rich. Pleasure talking to you. First, I want to commend you on the Marconi Award.
Oh, thank you.
I also want to commend your team, TJ, Michael V, and the CB, Chris Brockman.
Thank you,
I'm calling to talk about the Eisen curse that has happened primarily from the second week of the season.
What is that? What do you got?
Well, you may remember when Nick Chubb was on your show. The reason I'm watching your show is my daughter's a fantasy football lady.
Okay.
And, hey, Jeff, Dad, watch this show. Anyway.
Great. You have a smart daughter. You have a smart daughter, Ohio Jay, and I have a feeling you're about to prove to me that you're a little too smart yourself. Go for it. What are you on?
Speaking of too smart myself, if I can say something nice about TJ, I used to travel around the country, and TJ is the most reasonable, rational Dallas fan I ever met.
Okay.
as far as Chris, Chris can kind of go by the phrase, I'm not going to apologize for being bright and right.
Okay. All right.
And then Michael D, picture Michael D, because I was a tech guy, but Michael D is far better looking than I ever was.
Oh, wow.
Ohio Mike, thank you.
Oh, no, that's Ohio Jay.
You're
New Jersey Mike.
I was thinking of Miami Mike.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
So you're saying Nick Chubb came on the show, his knee gets blown out, and then just we had Josh Dobbs Monday, and he had a four-interception game. Is that your point, that we're the mush?
Yeah, but it's deeper than that. When you had your kids on, Baker and Brock, they lost that week. And the Ravens safety, when he was on 3 or 4 weeks ago, when I saw the Ravens safety on your show, I said, if the curse is true, Cleveland will win that game.
Hmm.
And it was true.
Geno Stone was on, and then they lost to the Browns.
Wow.
Excuse me, sir. Ohio Jay, just to let you know the way this works, okay, around here, is because I am fortunate enough to have the role of being the studio host of Monday Night Football on Westwood One. I interview players for both teams. So unless there's a tie, there is an interview subject on this show for every Monday Night Football who wins as well. Why so negative, Ohio Jay? Why so negative?
I think he's very positive.
Well, I used to be I was a Browns fan back in the day.
No.
Talking about Tepper and talking about Bryce versus C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
It reminded me, and this would be more of a Siciliano comment, it reminded me when the Browns took Tim Couch. Really? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. And thanks for the call, Ohio Jay. And I appreciate you paying attention and saying hi to your daughter. Is that who's watching us?
Yeah.
Very smart.
And Ohio Jay, very smart with the comments he said about me.
Well, I just didn't want to ask him a little bit. Because he's so kind, even though he's pointing out the negative. There's a glass half empty that Nick Chubb was on and then his knee got blown out. The glass half full is we had TJ Watt on and he won. You know what I mean? Like, so we could keep going on and on about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a photographic memory about who's been on, right? Jared Goff came on. He won. He beat Green Bay. He beat the pants off of Green Bay. Remember that?
No.
Just pointing it out. All right.
Yeah, but our last guy was Josh Dobbs, and unfortunately.
But I know that, and I just didn't want to ask him if he was a Buckeye fan.
I have a feeling if he'd have stayed on another minute, we'd
be out there. Yeah. So, say there's all of that. But, you know, we can talk about the negative. You're on the show.
I thought he was very positive.
Because when it all comes down to it, We have a new slogan around here, right,
Mike? The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
It is. That is the best thing about us, is that it's about us.
I don't know why I hit donkey.
You know?
I just like that.
Oh, the donkeys.
It's about us. Well, we're donkeys.
Speaking of the donkey real quick, we talked about Arnold's donkey. We forgot, Chris, he also has a mini horse at the crib. Completely forgot about the
Didn't
mini
Didn't know
horse.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was out of the country when that was a huge rage that he was on the Manning cast.
Yeah, and all of a sudden his donkey popped in and just started feeding it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And Eli and Peyton had no idea what was happening.
Donkey!
TJ
left. There you go.
And then Eli was on with Susie, and we asked Eli, hey, what was that about? He's like, I don't know. I didn't know if I was supposed to ask the donkey a question. Like, it was pretty funny.
That was good. Well, Eli was a funny guy.
Also, Rich, Eli said that he wasn't going to do the interview, but then he heard Susie was hosting, so he decided to do it.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
So, I appreciate that. I'm sure Susie enjoyed that.
Literally, the Mannings only come on when you're not here.
Yeah. And that was the first thing he said when he came.
True.
Yeah.
That is true. Didn't Peyton come like that when we were really young as a show, like year one, right?
Susie was guest hosting, and Peyton came on. And then I think this is the second time with Eli and Susie.
Right. Yep. And she's like, she's always like, you know, if you want them, you can have. I mean, like, you know,
like she's doing you a favor. Like, you know, you can have them.
No, but it's just a rare that, you know, spouses at home are like, you know, hey, the age celebrity guests, you know, when I'm hosting, I'd like to, you know, is that all right if we could do that?
Yeah.
Didn't Ryan Leaf also get
you know, and I'm like, you know, would you mind if I have the, you know, A-list guest? Is that all right?
Yep. And Ryan Leaf got Peyton. Right. So.
Yeah.
You're 0 for Mannings.
You thought you were the third Archie's fourth son, but I don't know.
I need to take a look at that.
Yeah.
All right. So here we are on a Tuesday, and that means we're still overreacting.
Yeah.
We've I don't know if you've noticed, with our podcast advent, we've moved this segment to Tuesday, and I think it's working out very well. I don't think that's an overreaction as well.
Not an overreaction.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there
on
a Tuesday?
Happy Tuesday. What's happening?
What up, G?
You know, I'm still thinking about Sunday Night Football, and I remember all the rumors last year about Sean Payton kind of getting back into the mix. The Chargers blew it, not backing up the Brinks truck for Sean Payton. Blew it.
By the way, that was my Najee Harris imitation right there.
You're gonna wait 10 seconds.
I just did.
Yeah.
Well, and I made a guttural noise. I mean, how do you disagree with this? How do you disagree with this? I imagine Sean Payton wouldn't have minded to stay put in Southern California.
I think that was the rumor, right?
And,
he preferred to
and coach up Justin Herbert, who's younger than Russ. I imagine.
And you kind of see the turnaround that Russ has had the
Again,
last five,
you know,
6 weeks.
Guys, that Walmart money is different.
Clearly,
though.
You know, I don't know.
Money's money, TJ.
Like you put the Spanos family on a sodium pentothal and, you know, hey, did you just not want to pay dead money or didn't want to pay all that much money? Is it a combination of all things? Or did you, or wait for it. I know this is crazy to a lot of people, but they just like Brandon Staley. And at a read of the locker room, and maybe Justin Herbert likes Brandon Staley. I don't know. As you know, there's only an iceberg, and we only see the tip.
Sean Payton has the Chargers 8-3. Guess what? You're going to make all that money back with the full stadium.
If Denver makes the playoffs this year after starting 1-4 and giving up 70 points in falling to 0-3, while the Chargers miss the playoffs entirely and by a wide margin, that is going to be, you know, maybe the coach's version of what's going on in Carolina with C.J. Stroud envy. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then it costs the coach a job. So that may be it. But I don't know how you could call this an overreaction right now. What else, Chris?
Yeah, something Ohio J, Mike. It's not Ohio Mike. It was Ohio J. Something
one of our callers.
Something he just said, and it hurts me to say this more than, you know, coming out. The Josh Dobbs carriage has turned into a pumpkin.
Oh, stop it. I even saw my buddy Sam Farmer say, you know, he was tweeting out that your the valet just pulled the pumpkin up or something like that. Something to that related. I saw that tweet.
I mean, even Kevin O'Connell said they're...
I heard that.
Oh, look at everything. Yeah, maybe look at everything. Nick Mullins gets a start this week. It was fun while it lasted.
Jeez. Four quarters will turn that around like that?
NFL, baby.
That was an ugly four quarters.
It was an ugly four quarters.
Not for long.
Oh, man.
It was pretty bad.
I'm calling this an overreaction.
And we love him, obviously.
I'm calling this an overreaction.
I think it's over.
Or maybe just give him the bye week. See what's what. Give him the bye week. See what's up. Come on now. Let's go. Josh Dobbs. Astro Dobbs. We're not giving up on him just yet. By the way, if, you know, Brian Flores actually continues to blitz and keep Justin Fields sped up so Luke Getsy calls yet another behind the line of scrimmage bubble screen or whatever the hell they were calling, wide receiver screens, then maybe, you know, they win this game and DJ Moore's not wide open down the field. And then Josh Dobbs is a winner, and they're 7-5, not 6-6. And we're talking about how gritty and gutty he was to actually find Hockenson in the end zone and give him the lead. But that's not the case,
that's
is
not,
it?
That's not
so
what we're talking
I'll
about
call that
today.
An overreaction and ask you to move on, sir. How dare you even put me in this position?
All right, talking about the Bears, Rich, you just mentioned Justin Fields. Guess what? The Bears are going to keep the number one pick this time and take a franchise quarterback.
I want to talk about this a little bit later in the show when we have a little bit more runway, but this is an overreaction at this point in time. At this juncture, when the Bears have several more games left, I would say it wouldn't be an overreaction if you said the Bears are going to use the remaining games of this season as an audition for Justin Fields.
It's not reasonable reaction Tuesday.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So I will just call this an overreaction and see how Fields finishes up. Putting the ball on the ground twice last night.
No bueno.
In back-to-back possessions in the second half. I mean, come on. But he also has an escapability that is uncommon, I think you could say. And he also is somebody who has a cannon for an arm if the offensive coordinator trusts him to do it. So I can't sit here and say that that's a given right now. I'll call that an overreaction at present. What else, Chris?
Rich?
Yes.
Chris? Sean McDermott, we like him. Member of the Bald Brotherhood.
He's out?
He's coaching the rest of this year for his job in 2024.
All right. I think that that is true. I think that's true. I think the Bills make the playoffs. He's cool. He's good.
Yeah, you got to win a playoff game.
Right? Do you really?
I mean, look, Artie Schottenheimer got fired after going 14-2.
Well,
nothing is guaranteed.
I got you. He's out of coordinators to switch.
He's out of change. Fall guys.
Fall guys. I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. Man, what a schedule they have, too.
Brutal.
Down the stretch. It ain't easy. It's kind of like the first six games the Jets had.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Bills couldn't do what the Jets did, which is beat the Eagles. Still, one of the wildest
stupid.
Results of the 2023 calendar year. That's still in the clubhouse, pal.
This game
that's still still your clubhouse leader.
It's stupid.
And the one knocking on the door saying, you know, I think we shot the same round, so we should have, we should be tied in clubhouse leader of strangest result of 2023 is the one win Bryce Young has is against CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
What else, Chris?
Whack. All right. One monster, huge game this week. 49ers-Eagles. Winner of that game is going to win the Super Bowl.
That's an overreaction. Come on, man. I thought you were going to say he's going to win the one seed.
No.
And even Super then, even
Bowl.
That would be a stretch because the Bills, you know, could not do the Niners a favor and get the Niners within one game of the Eagles prior to this game. You know,
the 49ers.
It's a two-game lead the Eagles
healthy,
have.
100% health. They're, we could argue, the best team in the league. The Eagles, everyone, you know, talking smack. Well, we didn't have Brock Purdy. That's why you beat us. Boom. They beat this team at full strength. Boom. Super Bowl.
I know what you're saying. I understand your theory here, but you do realize the three-game losing streak for the 49ers may wind up costing them a home game against the Eagles in the playoffs. Basically, that three-game losing streak may be, at the end, the root cause of why this is the first of two times San Francisco is going to try and beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia. They might, you know, they'll need to win this game and maybe get help from Dallas the following week. You know, Philadelphia has also a game at Seattle. Maybe the 12s figure out how to, you know, get help the Seahawks pass the goal line in that one. But I feel the fact that they're two behind Philadelphia, even if they win this game, they're still going to have to go back to Philly in the playoffs and do it again. And then there's, the matter of the AFC, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Overreaction. You got any more? What else?
Last one. I think maybe this guy should be the number one pick. Marvin Harrison Jr., he could show up on an NFL team this week. Boom. Play him on Sunday and be a top 10 receiver in the league.
For the rest of the year.
The rest of the year.
Wow.
Well, it would depend on the NFL team.
Like, it's so it depends on the scheme, the quarterback?
Well, you put him on the Panthers, that's not true.
Oh, come on. He is the best player on the Panthers.
You put Marvin Harrison
Jr. How about on the Jets? How about that? He could call up Garrett Wilson and Garrett will give him an earful.
No. You put him on the Kansas City Chiefs right now?
Yes. He's the best player on any team, top 10 receiver rest of the year.
Well, Michigan certainly defended him like that type of receiver. He said he's never seen coverage like that. And I'm sitting there at home saying, why isn't Ohio State throwing more to him? And apparently the Michigan just was all over him. And he still had significant moments in that game.
He was getting his arm dragged out and caught a 40-yard bomb one-handed while falling to the ground.
He is spectacular. He is special. He is scary to defend and, you know, root against for sure. But, you know, if this happens, right, if he is a top 10 receiver in the NFL next year when he is coming to the NFL, again, that might make him offensive rookie of the year, which would give us three straight offensive rookies of the year in the NFL who lost their last game in Michigan. Jeez. As Ohio State Buckeyes. So that'll be great.
I mean.
Rich, you didn't play in the game.
I'm not done dispensing fun facts.
You shouldn't be. You shouldn't.
More fun facts to come. Overreaction Monday, our podcast, is sponsored by Game Time. And Game Time Tickets is a great way for you to get tickets easily to events near you or even out of town. If you are traveling for the holiday season, you should see who's in the town that I'm going to visit. Could there be a concert? Could there be a theater event? Could there be some sporting event going on? I'm bringing the family. It is perfect for this time of year, especially because, number one, if you're on a budget, you get to see all in prices. Your total is shown up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. And two, there's the matter of a promo code. Use my name, Rich, to get $20 off your first purchase. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create the account, and make sure you redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. The new show bookie, Omar Dorsey, is coming up in studio to talk about it. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Back now on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, part of our Roku stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We just showed a hilarious clip from the new show Bookie that debuts again on Max with two episodes on Thursday. And you can see Max right here on Roku, new episodes airing Thursday. One of the stars, Omar J. Dorsey, here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you.
So glad to be back, Rich.
What a great, fun show.
Listen, you got Chuck Lorre, Nick Bakay, Sebastian Maniscalco. It's like three of the funniest human beings ever created.
They are indeed.
And like, it's just a hoot every day on set, and we're just throwing things back and forth. As you saw with the clip, it's just about it's two best friends who bust each other chops.
Yep.
On a daily basis. It's a workplace comedy. It just happens to be the workplace is the streets of L.A., and we're trying to get our money from these people who are degenerates.
Gamblers.
Some of them are gamblers. Some of them try to just run away from us.
Right.
Those are we like the regular gamblers.
Yes, indeed.
The ones who are hiding from us are the worst.
Now, did you do any research for this gig?
Oh, man, I've done research over the last 43 years. Since I was 5 years old, I've had a bookie. Yeah, man, it's so crazy because my old bookie, he's like, you want a show about me? I was like, yeah. So I got a lot of tips from him. He's not in the business anymore. I'm not snitching, but I've been a part of it forever, man. I've always been, I love gambling, live in New Orleans. I live across the street from a casino. So yeah, they know me by first name.
Right. And so you did some research with an individual that you could just.
Yeah, I can just hop on the phone. Exactly.
Okay. Ooh. Now I'm assuming you still are rooting for the same football team because I would imagine the wagering you would be dicey in attempting to involve a Falcons fandom into all of that.
Rich, can I talk to you about
you may talk to me. Yes.
The last time I saw you.
Yes, sir.
was probably the day before the most depressing day of my life.
I was in Houston, Texas, if
you
I'm not mistaken.
You gave me tickets to a Super Bowl that we were up 28-3. And yes, I was texting you, like, Rich, I was about to win the Super Bowl.
Yes,
and then things happened.
Things happened.
And I think that I stayed in Houston for three extra days. I'm quite sure I lost a good 2 years off my life after that game. Yeah, man, that was the most depressing time. Yeah, I still root for those guys. We're in first place. We're 5-6 in first place.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that something?
It is. It's better than being 5-6 and in last place.
I mean, you know, we're going to be cannon fodder for the Cowboys, so that'll be fun. Yeah.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, I know so. Trust me.
So you make the playoffs.
Yeah. And
you get a home game.
Yes.
And the Dallas Cowboys come knocking on your door.
And Dak Prescott comes in and throws 6 touchdowns. That's the way I see the future going.
Wow.
Is that bad? I'm sorry, Atlanta fans. You know, everybody's going to be mad at me for saying this.
Well, Calais Campbell's a large man. He might
have
something.
He's a very large man. He's a very friendly man, too. He's a very
Have you met him? Have you met Clay?
I haven't met him, but he has the greatest voice. His voice is so great.
Oh, by the way, you and him.
Yeah, no, I was like, he's having a really good season, you know, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's getting to the quarterback and he's stopping the run. I love Clay.
Right. Yeah. Now, are you also an individual who might be a fantasy player or a daily fantasy player?
I do play fantasy. I'm in a league.
You don't have Bijan, do you?
I do have Bijan.
What do you think about your coach's usage of him?
He needs to do better. You know, the thing about it, he needs to spread him out. He's do different things with him. It just so happens that we have three very capable running backs. We got Patterson, we got Algiers, and we got him. So we can put him in different places. Like I like the touchdown that Ritter threw to him on last Sunday. I think it's like a 45, 50-yard pass. But Bijan is just, he's a weapon. So need to use him more. I tell you, I was very upset the game that they sat him out. I don't know what happened. I think he had a headache or something. And they sat him out, and then I think I lost that week by 10 points. All I needed him to do was just to get, like, 10 yards, and I probably would have won that week.
Yeah, everyone was wondering what's going on with him because he wasn't on the injury report, and then he wasn't inactive.
He wasn't inactive. He was there with his helmet on, you know. I remember Arthur Smith works in mysterious ways.
Omar J. Dorsey here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you're from Georgia?
From Atlanta. Yeah, born and raised. Yes.
All right. Any other Atlanta teams that you're...
You know, the Braves, the Hawks, of course, UGA.
Okay, so you are Georgia then.
What? Yes. Man, what?
All right, so then let's get into this then.
Yes.
Because you know this weekend is a large game.
Certainly is.
You know, I'm a Michigan Wolverine.
Oh, okay. Oh, you guys did very good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes. I did a lot.
Yes, I know. I
and Chris Brockman, by proxy of his cohabitant and... You're not your spouse, but she's the mother of your child.
His baby's mama.
Your partner in life. Your life partner.
Absolutely.
He is now a Georgia Bulldog by that proxy. So.
Good man.
And I point out to him all the time, in the same way that my school plays our diehard, dyed-in-the-wool, big-time, top-five, every-year rival.
Every year.
Alabama and Georgia are not forced to do that.
No. It's two different. It's SEC East, SEC West.
Whatever.
Look, we have to play against Georgia Tech, okay? It's tough enough, right?
I understand that, and that's an in-state rival of some sort.
Good old-fashioned hate.
But we finally are getting what we should be seeing schedule-wise, but we don't because these two teams eventually make it to take on each other more often than not.
Look, it's
comes Georgia versus Alabama.
Yes.
If Alabama wins this game, do you think Georgia deserves to be in the Final Four playoffs?
Well, look, if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. Alabama's not going to win. But listen, if something happens to Carson Beck and Brock Bowers and they can't play, then maybe if we don't get beat by more than a touchdown, of course, man, we've won 28 straight games. You know, and
yeah, but it's for this year.
I know, but we've been beating everybody up this year. I mean, Georgia Tech had a nice little, I think they lost by 10 and they lost by 30, but you know, gotta give a little brother a little bit of help.
Right.
I think we should just go in. We're the number one team in the country. You know, I mean, as long as we don't get mollywopped, I think we'll get it. But we're going to win. I don't even know why we're having these hypothetical conversations, Rich Eisen.
I understand that. I'm just throwing it out there to you.
Okay, throw it out.
That's the question right now I think. Or the bigger question is, if Alabama wins, does Alabama make it over Texas? That's the conversation.
Yeah, there's a crazy chaos theory that, you know, that could happen.
Because if- I do understand what you're saying about Georgia, right, that to have a playoff, wouldn't you want to have a team that has won the last two?
Right.
And has won 28 in a row.
Right.
Despite their loss to one of the best teams in the country in the, in a, if you will, hanging chad of a game. Like, I mean, I, these conference championship games, it only serves to provide an impediment.
I agree with you.
For a team that has already proven over a dozen games that they're worthy for it.
You know, and so, think about it, like you said with Texas, all right, Alabama slipped up against Texas, right?
Yeah.
But Alabama's had they've had a good season. It's not been amazing, but I'm saying it's not been amazing. They're 11-1, right?
Yes.
I mean,
they'd have the same record as Texas, and yes, Texas is like, well, that means we go over Alabama, even if Alabama beats the number one team, because head-to-head should matter, and then it's really up to a crew of mostly, you know, the names are known, but we, you know, a crew of folks sitting in a room to decide what's what. And then there's the matter of the Pac-12 as it's about to disintegrate. Hey, man, be careful. Honestly, Oregon and Washington are really good. So
Have you seen what Bo Nix has done
in
against Georgia? His whole career, he's 0-4. Well, what are we talking about here?
You're loving this, Chris. I know. I love it.
What are we talking about? I mean, look, they have a fun time throwing the ball around, you know, on the West Coast for the, you know, for their fans, but when it comes to the real deal, come on, man. It's not the trenches.
It just means more, Rich.
It just means more, stuff, man.
I know. We are so arrogant.
Well, not more than my school.
You know,
calling ourselves America's team amidst what's going on.
But you know what's crazy? Right? It's what TCU did to you guys last year and what we did to them.
I know that. Especially since we supposedly had their plays.
No, they changed. They knew about your scheme and changed the signs.
Exactly.
Oh, who knows? Whatever's convenient for people to say about to try and denigrate Michigan, I understand. I mean, but guess what? Happened. I'm here for it now.
Uh-huh.
I am here for the hate, which I never thought I would be for Michigan. I never thought we'd be hated, and I never thought I would want to be here for the hate, but I am 100% here for it. I can't wait for it.
Y'all beat Maserati last week.
Yes, we did. Maserati Marv.
Y'all beat Maserati Marv. And I was surprised. I'm not even going to lie. Because Harbaugh was nowhere to be found. I'm really happy for you guys.
Thank you, Omar. Yes, I greatly appreciate
and
that.
And I cannot wait to play y'all in the championship this year.
I would love that. I'd sign for it.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
I would sign for it right now.
I'm coming back
on
the show, and I'm talking all the smack.
Well,
Rich,
you know what? Well,
all of it. I'm going to be unbearable.
But just to bring it all full circle. Do you know where the game is?
It's in Houston.
It is that.
I don't want to talk about that.
How are the tickets? I never really asked. How are the tickets for that Super Bowl?
You know who I'm sitting beside?
Who are you sitting beside?
Ty Law. And I talked smack the whole game.
Oh, geez.
That couldn't have gone well for you at the end.
Said, Dorsey, are you okay?
I
just got up and walked away.
Wait
quietly.
A minute. You watched the Patriot-Falcons Super Bowl.
Beside Ty Law.
While you were up 28-3.
Talking all the smack.
And then things reversed.
Then it Brady'd.
Yeah.
And Falconed.
And then what did Ty Law say to you?
He smiled and said, "You okay, Dorsey?"
Nice.
When did you know that you lost that game?
You know what? As a Falcon fan, you always have something in the pit of your stomach. It was on that holding call. It was that last one when Julio caught the big reception.
That was in one of the most amazing catches
ever.
Which, by the way, we'd be talking about every Super Bowl from evermore.
Exactly. Yep.
And that put them in absolute field goal range.
Easy
until and then they wound up punting.
A sack. A holding call. That was a phantom holding call. It wasn't even.
Chris Long was
Matt
getting
Ryan
tackled. It's fine.
Had a sack. And we didn't run the ball. I don't understand. Our running game was trucking, and you stop running the ball, and Shanahan just got too cute, man. You know, it's like, just run the ball. We can kneel the ball three times kick the field goal.
I thought it was when Hightower came up with the sack force fumble.
Oh, sack fumble. Yeah, that's when you're like,
Yeah,
that's when I thought it was like, uh-oh, this can really actually happen.
Yeah.
All right, so, I'm up for seeing you in Houston.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, Rich?
No, because you're saying that you want to see my team against your team. It's going to be in Houston.
Now I'm going to be depressed. Thanks a lot.
No. But you got a hit show coming. So how's that better?
Yeah.
Is that better for you?
Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome. Do you got any good blindside stories?
Man, you know what? I had such a good time. I remember when we were shooting, and I was just watching Sandra Bullock. And then the real Leanne was there. And I was just looking back and forth. I said, she is nailing this. I told everybody. I said, she's going to win the Oscar. They were laughing. Oh, Disney. But I said, man, she is really so good in this movie. You don't understand. I told everybody that.
Mm-hmm.
And then come 6 months later, she walked away with the trophy. I just knew how good she was in that movie and how much work she did and how much she was really reflecting the real Leanne Tui. She's tremendous, man. I love working with her.
Were you on the set for any of the actual real coaches coming to set?
I was. You know, I was on set when, what's my guy's coach for LSU?
Orgeron.
Orgeron.
But he was wearing Mississippi
State at that time.
State gear, right?
Mississippi State at the time. But yeah, right. He was there and I was like, it's the voice, you know? So yeah, I had a great time, man.
Right.
Yeah. I was there. I met him. He's the only one I met, though.
What would you have said if you met Saban?
I'd have been like, was he? Is it LSU?
He was still LSU.
But still,
he might have been at.
He won a triangle. He won a championship at LSU.
Yeah, he did win a championship at LSU.
So he's standing in George's way. In two different spots.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? He should have stayed with the Dolphins.
And like Philip Fulmer was in that movie, right?
Philip Fulmer, Lou Holtz.
Yeah, Lou was there. Yeah, you know
he was
that?
At South Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Lou Holtz. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, Lou was there too.
Yeah,
I did meet Lou. I met Lou then. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's cool, man. Yeah.
Was he?
Okay. Yeah, because I just like, you know, as a kid, I just remember, you know, all the Notre Dame and he was like just an icon.
Yeah, just to date myself, I was in college then watching him. Yeah, jeez. Beat Michigan.
Oh,
I feel differently about Lou.
I know you do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my blind spot.
It is. Oh, man. No.
It's okay. Congratulations on this show in advance. I cannot wait to keep talking about it because Nick's coming here. Nick Bakay's coming here. That's Thursday.
Smart. Yeah.
You know, Sebastian's been on the show before, as you have. And obviously, I'll keep talking about it.
Listen, man, Nick.
Even though the
Chuck.
NFL would be like, bookie, what is that?
Nah,
you don't get it.
Okay.
You know, but it looks and it's as funny as it comes. So.
It is, man. It really is. You're talking about Nick Bakay and you're talking about Chuck Lorre, man. Those dudes are great writers, you know what I'm saying? They just put it in front of us, and we just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
We just run with it.
How is Charlie Sheen?
Man, Charlie is everything I thought he was. You know, he's so much fun. He's so talented, you know. So I was, you know, I've worked in a few scenes with him, you know, on the show, and it's just like, it's sort of surreal. Like, I'm working with Charlie Sheen on this show right now. We're just saying lines that he's improvising and just bringing it.
Oh,
he's
really?
Throwing 100 miles an hour, man.
Sort of like Wild Thing.
Yes, exactly like the Wild Thing. He's coming in out of the bullpen, just throwing it. And he was like, man, he was so much fun to work with. He's a good guy. I got his number. He gave me his phone number and everything.
Oh, is that right?
Let's FaceTime Charlie Sheen right now.
Don't make me do it. He would answer too. I ain't going to do it to Charlie, man, but he would.
That's crazy that Charlie Sheen and Chuck Lorre are back
listen,
together.
If you want to,
I know that too. That went down
I know that,
yeah, like, man. But you know they made magic together though.
I know.
Absolutely. They made magic
two and
together.
A half men. And come on.
And just to see them together, like I have, like I guess it might have been the first time they saw each other since then.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all together, took a picture. I was like, this is history in the making right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what better way to promote Bookie than to FaceTime Charlie Sheen live?
Man, I don't want to mess with Charlie, man.
I met him.
He's probably not
the last time I spoke to Charlie Sheen was at the World Series in 1998.
Oh, really?
I was working for ESPN Radio, and I had a choice to interview anybody in the building for 1 minute during the radio broadcast.
Oh, wow. You get you.
And I saw him. I think it was game four.
Yeah.
It was game four. He was in the stands, and I went up to him, and I asked him, would he do it? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to be in the owner's suite in about three innings from now. Come find me.
Oh, nice.
I did, and I found him, and he couldn't have been cooler. He couldn't have been greater. He turns to me at one point because, you know, I was on the Sports Center with Stuart Scott at the time, and I would do the, you know, 2 a.m. Eastern one, and it would re-air all throughout the day, starting at 11 o'clock Pacific. And he turns to me, he goes, at one point during, before, like 2 minutes before we're on the air, he goes, you know, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, I've had some troubles in my life lately. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I've read about it, Charlie. And he goes, well, you know, sometimes when I was having my troubles, I'd be up all night long. And I'd watch you and Stuart do SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And right around the sixth airing of your show, I would start to repeat the lines that I knew you were about to say before you said it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, That's a great story.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
No, but he was so cool and chill and nice. Open. Yeah, nice.
Man. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's great because I was telling them a story, how I worked with his dad, Martin, in the movie Selma. And I said, man, your dad came in and he had like a 4 or 5 page monologue. And I said, man, your dad was nailing it every take. And he's like, yeah, my dad is one of the greats. So I was like, I hope people really realize how great Martin Sheen truly is.
Yeah.
You know, but this is great that I was able to work with him and his dad.
Look at you, man.
Yeah, man. I have a charm life, man. I've had a great one, man. I'm not even lying.
Well, I look forward to having you back on.
For sure.
Certainly for the national championship game.
For sure. Oh, yes. Yes.
I'd sign for that.
To the game together.
I'd sign for that.
All right.
1,000,000%. Because if it happens, I might be in Houston that night myself.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Go through.
I'm going to keep the tickets
this
time.
We're all going.
Say what?
We're all going.
I didn't
know
that.
Show in Houston.
Yeah. Okay. This guy. Everyone, check out Bookie starting this coming Thursday on Max, which you can see right here on Roku. Don't go anywhere. Omar J. Dorsey here on The Rich Eisen Show. Your phone calls and hour number 3, talking about NFL officiating in a moment. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I do believe it was the first time that we met. I'm going to bring this up. It was in the city of Houston.
That's right.
It was the first ever Super Bowl the NFL Network had ever covered. But you and the entire Manning family strolled into the Gatorade suite. And who did you hear singing karaoke in the Gatorade suite that night?
It was a beautiful voice.
Would you say, like, voice, in terms of
it was like an angel bringing us in. Mm-hmm. And there we walk in and we see Rich Eisen, karaoke. Dominating.
To basically, by the way, nobody else in the room, right?
Yeah, just solo. Just, you know, you get a little practice.
There was me and my buddy. There was nobody else.
What song, Eli?
That's a good question.
Sinatra.
Sinatra?
I forget which one it was.
Okay.
New York, did you have to ask?
Or... Yeah.
Seriously, it was me and my buddy. And
I remember it. We walked in and we joined. Now, but we joined right in.
You did sing, right? All did get on the mic.
I think we got up there. You know, we can't turn that down.
No, I know. And right. It was honestly me.
It was obviously like pre-cell phone. But no one had a camera. You didn't worry about anybody filming.
Yeah, so there's no video.
You get up and sing.
Anything.
You saw karaoke, you sang. You don't think twice.
It was just the moment.
Yeah,
that's
the
it.
Moment.
You didn't have to memorialize it. It was me, my buddy, Doug. And then it was, I think, your entire family,
yeah, probably
right?
The whole crew, yeah.
Your mom and your dad, you and Peyton and Cooper.
And Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. what do you have a go-to karaoke song, Eli, at all?
It's changed over the years, obviously.
Has it really?
You kind of go with the times. You know, Footloose has always been one, you
really?
Know, just because you can kind of dance with it. But mm-hmm. now, you know, it's tough. It's tough to do karaoke now. Mm. You're just kind of worried, you know, people are filming all the time.
That's
then
true.
They judge. And, you know, I get judged enough. I don't need to be judged on my singing ability. That's, you know, that's for fun.
Yes.
You know, everybody's made it too serious.
Yes, being on the air with Eli. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Jake in Massachusetts. How are you, Jake?
Good, Rich. How are you?
What's on your mind, brother?
Well, I've got a bone to pick with Brockman over there. You know, I'm a longtime New England fan. I was born on a Tuesday, and Tom Brady started his first NFL start on that Sunday.
Wow.
And, you know,
You're spoiled.
You're a man of privilege.
So you're spoiled. Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely spoiled. But here's the thing. You know, I've been hearing a lot from you guys recently. Well, not so much you, Rich, but definitely from Chris over there. You know, we want Belichick out. We want to move on and all that. And look, I'm excited to, you know, the potential top draft pick we're going to have this year. Obviously, there's nothing we can do about it, you know, our season at this point. But, you know, why is everybody, you know, giving up on him? What's with the lack of patience in the world right now?
Well, so giving up on who? The Patriots or Belichick?
Belichick.
I think more the issue is Bill, the GM, has failed Bill, the coach, in the last 5 years. And so I think I'm fine with Bill still being the head coach. I still think he's obviously still a great coach and still has it in him. We just need to take the GM apart away. Maybe get the band back together. Call Scott Pioli, get him back up there, or just get a new player personnel guy who kind of objectively see things from 30,000 feet. I just think Bill has too much on his plate.
And I appreciate the call, Jake. And thank you. Thanks for calling in. In echoing the other sentiment that you've been having, you best tank wisely. You know what I keep thinking about when you keep talking about the Patriots tanking and needing to tank for, you know, the draft choice that you want? You know, I will say this. As I'm watching the Jets struggle, with Zach again, because their plan for what happened with Aaron Rodgers went kablooey, and now we're in year three of Zach, right? And staring into the abyss again. I keep thinking of Frank Gore and his glorious run for a touchdown against the Los Angeles Rams in 2020 to end the Jets' winless season. For what?
Exactly.
For what?
Exactly.
As Trevor Lawrence is about to win the AFC South and about to, for a second straight year, again, take a monster leap forward with the proper coaching and GMing around him. Tank wisely. But Cooper, our 12-year-old, keeps saying, "Dad, are we going to tank?" Meaning the Patriots.
Yeah, it's happening.
And I keep telling him, they are not. They will not. They won't. Because Belichick doesn't tank, man.
Yeah, but you start Bill's Mac Jones tanking. And Bailey Zappi, that is tanking.
No.
Because those guys stink.
Dude, if Chad Ryland had only kicked the extra point, what do you think, that Bill would have switched quarterbacks just to screw up overtime? Of course not.
Chad,
of course not. Bill
Chad
Belichick
knew.
Doesn't is not tanking.
Chad got the memo from Bob Kraft.
I got it. But be careful, is all I'm saying, because you're in dangerous waters right here, because you have a guy who's never going to tank in a million years, and you're this close. You're so close, because Panthers just switched coaches, and you never know. He might unlock Bryce Young,
and they might get the
2 wins necessary to leapfrog New England, and you may have Caleb Williams going to New England.
Yeah, buddy.
And that's entirely possible right now, but you don't have that. Like, the Crafts want to win in the worst way, and Bill is not tanking.
Thank you, Justin Fields, for winning last night.
I'm telling you.
We can't have Caleb Williams going to the
Guess
Patriots.
What? Pop got Wemby. Pop was going to retire.
Oh, my God, that's true.
Bill's about to retire. Oh, and I'm going to get Caleb Williams? Boom, rejuvenated.
What if that happens? Just the core.
It's entirely possible this is going to happen.
Oh, God.
Entirely possible.
We need them to
but
go
you
on
gotta
a
lose, man.
Run, Rich.
You got to lose them all. And you got to hope that Carolina catches some wind, because the owner wants to win. What is he? He's certainly, the last thing Tepper wants is to have a 1-win season with the guy they just traded up to go get, and then sitting there on draft night watching the Bears choose with his pick another quarterback that he's going to be gritting his teeth over.
Yeah, exactly.
As a rookie. Like, that's the last thing he wants. They want to win games. Frank Gore scoring against the Rams. And then the Browns, remember, it was the COVID year, and they had every receiver was out. And I thought to myself, of course, they're just going to run the ball because that's the strength. And then they showed up and Baker winged it around like 50 times and the Jets won that one too. And I'm like, great. And to this day, the Jets are still reaping that in the worst way possible. Now, the way out of it was to get Rodgers. He's now blown up. And he just went on Pat's show. We don't have to play the soundbite. He just went on Pat's show and he's like, it depends on his health and if the Jets are in it. Well
they ain't which
I don't blame him for hedging. I don't blame him.
He was never coming back.
I don't know, man.
Such a vanity ego play by him all year.
You could call it that, but again, you're not in the rehab process dreaming of this happening and trying to use this as a way to get through it, because I'm sure it's just a miserable existence coming back from an Achilles injury when you're almost damn 40. Come on now. So I'm going to give him that benefit of the doubt. It's not like, look at me. He's using that as the proper amount of...
His whole life is look at me.
I get it. You could say that. But he's using that as the proper amount of motivation to get there. And the Jets have just... The offensive line has gotten destroyed. And everything else that they've set up for Rodgers has not raised the level of their game. From Lazard and Cobb to his personal handpicked play caller...
They've all been
dreadful.
Awful.
Dreadful. Lazard for 4 years, $44 million, was a healthy scratch on Black Friday.
Come on.
So my message to New England, tank wisely, which is an affront to them. By the way, it's an affront to the New England franchise that you have loved for 20-plus years.
This is the situation.
Because that is not what they're about, man.
This is what's at hand. I moved to Maine in 1993. That's when I really started being a Pats fan. They took Drew Bledsoe that year, number one. Full circle. Let's go.
Which is using...
Take a quarterback, number one.
Well, you got to get
the
there.
Number one pick.
You got to earn it. Because right now, you got the Cardinals to contend with too, pal.
Yeah, a lot
Cardinals
of
Cardinals are sitting there with two wins.
A lot of mocks I've seen have them taking Marvin Harrison.
I don't know about that.
Look at that.
I don't know about that. And, of course, Caleb Williams' parents the word came out of USC that he's still considering staying in college is because, you know, the word is Cliff Kingsbury has been whispering to him, you don't want any piece of Arizona. Now, Jonathan Gannon has had, I thought, an impressive season so far.
That guy's coaching his ass off,
I think,
man.
So, too.
They're playing hard for him.
But New England's got a ways to go. And they are not going to go into each week with Bill Belichick and the Kraft family saying, how can we creatively lose? That ain't happening.
I mean, that was the stat 50 times
that
this year.
Ain't happening.
Teams have held opponents to 10 points or less.
All I'm saying is...
And the Pats have lost both games.
In the long run, I keep thinking of that Frank Gore touchdown against the Rams. And it's like, oh, that was great for Adam Gase and all the guys in that team. How does it look now?
Do you think Frank mentions that in his Hall of Fame speech?
See ya.